Are you ready to buy or sell your home? The Jim Allen Group is a nationally recognized and award-winning real estate team in the Triangle, dedicated to providing exceptional service to meet your needs. With the latest insights and expert market knowledge, they'll make your home buying and selling journey as smooth as possible. Don't wait. Head over to jimallen.com and start your next move today. That's jimallen.com. The Jim Allen Group, your partner in real estate.
Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Even though the Panthers don't have a first-round pick, at least right now, I guess they could certainly remedy that through means if they felt like they had to. What was your biggest takeaway from a Panthers standpoint from the job fair?
From the combine?
Yeah.
I guess that the wide receiver class is deep, which should be the case every single year, considering how important the pass game has become in this modern day and age of football. Offensive line class apparently is really good as well. Aside from that, I don't think you learn all that much. They've already played all the games. I was reading an article this morning about how the 40-yard dash is not even that important anymore, how these teams use GPS tracking. So I've never been a big combine fan.
No.
Quite honestly, you saw how the top players like Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Drake May, Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels aren't even participating because they know they're going to be guaranteed in the top 10, top 15 anyways.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much you really take away from the combine other than, okay, yeah, these are some freak athletes. Cool.
Right. Yeah. Here's the thing, and this has nothing to do with the Panthers. Maybe it does. I don't know. But I think somebody like Peyton Wilson, if the medicals come back clear, probably played it, you know, a 40-yard dashed his way maybe into the second round. He's a little bit of an older player, right?
For sure. You've seen in the past, like when John Ross broke the combine record, which was, of course, was broken this past weekend by Xavier Worthy, he went way up there. And, like, when he was at Washington, I thought he was an outstanding player. He played on that team that went to the playoff the first time under Chris Peterson and lost to Alabama. So he was a good player on the field anyway.
Right.
You've also, like, I think that's important as far as, you know, the speed goes with it. And if you've watched Peyton Wilson play, everyone knows that Peyton Wilson is an outstanding football player. The problem is he's had multiple knee injuries dating back to his senior year back in Hillsboro. So he's a fantastic player. It's great for him if a team is now going to be super convinced that he can play linebacker in the NFL because he can run straight line speed with no pads on in his underwear at whatever it was. That's great. But if you watch him play football, you know that he has the instincts to play the linebacker position. He's an excellent tackler and he's an excellent leader, which are the things that actually matter. But sure, it's great. He can run fast too.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really more the medicals. We knew he was fast. We watch him play. And I said this on Friday, like, nobody's surprised that Peyton Wilson's fast. Then you go back to the fact that he can absolutely play. So tomorrow, Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, is joining us here. Tomorrow is the deadline to franchise tag. I assume that there would be a tag placed on Brian Burns. There's no reason not to. They're not going to waive him. So what do you think the end game is here? Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Let's talk about financial termites. I hate termites.
Risk, fees, commissions are all financial termites. If your money can go away without you really realizing what's happened, that's a financial termite. Eating away your money can't happen. We can exterminate those, Adam. We help people identify and exterminate financial termites every single day.
So you would be the financial red ants.
That's right.
That get rid of the termites.
Sure.
People don't know that. Red ants get rid of termites. Text Adam to 600-700 for Coach Pete DeRuta.
I think the end game is to give the Panthers some more time to negotiate with Brian Burns. I feel like it felt like, I guess, once the season started that they weren't having any negotiations. And then when you consider the Carolina Panthers fired Frank Reich, who really wasn't a part of negotiation anyway, but they really fired Scott Fitterer, you have some time to figure out who's going to be your general manager. And they put Dan Morgan in place and they go out there and hire a senior executive vice president of football operations and Brant Tillis, who's going to be handling the contract negotiations and the salary cap. That's only been a couple of weeks.
Right.
And the Panthers couldn't begin to really decide to franchise tag Brian Burns until about 2 weeks ago. So they've only had about 13 days to truly have kind of these conversations to figure out whether they can extend him or if they're going to have to use the franchise tag. So for me, it just is another step in towards the direction of just seeing how long this negotiation is going to last. The time, if you're a Panther fan, if you want him to actually be a Panther, because I know there's plenty of people out there right now that don't think he's worth the money, even though it's not money that's coming out of their pocket at all, and that they feel like it'd be great again to watch another successful first round pick leave their bad football team. If you actually want Brian Burns to be here, the time to panic would be in mid-July, when the deadline would be to get an extension done prior to the season. And if that does not work out, then that's when it's like, okay, Brian Burns is probably not going to be a Carolina Panther past 2024 season. I just look at this as a means to extending the conversation with him. The Panthers can now know what they're going to have salary cap-wise. They can now focus on free agency that's going to start next week with the negotiating period on Monday, then free agency starting at 4 p.m. on next Wednesday. This just gives them time to now, okay, we're going to put this aside for a while. We know what our cap space is. We know what moves we need to make this coming week to be able to open up some cap space. We'll get back to you in June or July, Brian.
So walk me through that, you know, the cap space issue. They tag him. It's $24 million, which is the tag, which leaves them without any other moves, probably anywhere from $7 to $10 million under the cap, if I'm not mistaken. What moves can they make to make that number larger? Because they probably do need to address a bunch of things, maybe wide receiver, maybe offensive line, maybe a defensive tackle or another edge rusher through free agency.
Yeah, well, looking at overthecap.com, the Panthers currently have $35 million of cap space, so 24 of that would go to Brian Burns if they do place him on the franchise tag. So that's $11 million of cap space that they have left over. A couple moves that they could make. Taylor Moten has been the only constant on the offensive line. They could cut him, and that would only save him $5 million. That makes no sense at all to me, because then they'd be missing a right tackle who's been an excellent player for them. They could do a restructure. Dan Morgan talked about last week at the Combine, that's not something that they'd want to do moving forward. That could open up $8 million. What I really think they should do is extend them, and that opens up $13 million cap space. So you're right there sitting at $24 million cap space after making that move. Derrick Brown, another player who the Panthers should try to extend this offseason. He currently has an $11 million cap hit. If they extend him, that's $8.4 million that they can open up. So now we're up to $32 million. There's players like Terrace Marshall, who was inactive for seven straight weeks. The only reason he was active in the final week of the season was because of Jonathan Mingo's foot injury. The Panthers can save $1 million by cutting him. Ian Thomas, another player you would think they would cut. They save $2 million worth of what, $37 million of cap space. Those are some quick moves Carolina Panthers can make, some sensible moves Panthers can make. They can open up some cap space, give them an opportunity to be able to make up some other moves. And like Dante Jackson as well, I don't think that they would want to get rid of him. He has the second highest cap number, $15 million, and 5.9 cap savings if they were to release him. So those are the moves I'm looking at. Really extend Moten. I think that's something they absolutely need to do, and that makes a lot of sense. Extending Derrick Brown, also something they should do, and not repeat the situation going on right now with Brian Burns, and then two obvious ones for players who just don't offer that much in Terrace Marshall and Ian Thomas. Cut those guys, save some money. Those are the four moves I think it could be the quickest way for the Panthers to open up some cap space after franchise tagging Brian Burns.
Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, joining us here. The other thing that struck me coming out of the combine was the insistence that Ike Ekwonu isn't going to move to guard. He's going to stay at tackle. I assume when they say stay at tackle, they mean left tackle, which means he's got to resemble the Ike Ekwonu from the second half of his rookie year and not the Ike Ekwonu from last year, and that they're going to try and upgrade guard position. I think when healthy, they might be okay at guard, but I totally understand it was a mess last year, health and performance. And maybe Brady Christensen becomes a swing tackle that could either compete with or back up at left and right tackle, as well as maybe play some guard.
Calling all North Carolina sports fans. Soon enough, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code 999 to get up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once mobile sports betting goes live. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code 999. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-185-543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only, new customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I'm not against Ikem Ekwonu staying at left tackle. The Panthers used the 6th overall pick on him in the 2022 draft to have him be their franchise left tackle. Yeah, the guard position is obviously important in football, and we've seen guys go high, but are you really trying to use a top 10 pick on a guy who's just going to end up being a franchise left guard for you? Probably not. That's not necessarily what you're trying to do. And we have seen Ikem Ekwonu play good football. We saw it his rookie year after the first 2 weeks of the season where he went up against Myles Garrett, who's fantastic and should be able to beat a rookie in his first game ever. That's not a matchup Ikem was supposed to win. Didn't play well against the Giants game the next week, and then he went 10 straight weeks without giving up a sack. He played well that season. Last year, I don't really know how to explain what happened with Ikem Ekwonu as he gave up 11 sacks, according to PFF, 44 total pressures. That's obviously unacceptable from a player who was drafted at his slot, a player who played well the year prior. The offensive line coach, James Campen, had come back. I don't know how the regression came. Maybe it's because he had 7 different guys playing left guard next to him, Brady Christensen going out to begin the season. Maybe it's not getting enough tight end help. And Thomas Brown, the former OC who clearly was in over his head, he admitted at the end of the season, after it was already too late, that he should have done more to provide help to Ikem Ekwonu. The hope is he's still a young player. Offensive line is a developmental position, and you have seen him succeed at left tackle. So give him another opportunity, new blocking scheme, new offense, new offensive line coach, and see how that works out. And then if it doesn't, then down the road, you're going to have to try and find another way. The Panthers have spent over a decade, basically, once Jordan Gross retired, trying to find another left tackle. They went the free agency route multiple times. Yeah. We saw the Russell Coombs, who barely played for them. We saw the big price free agent. And then Matt Khalil be a disaster. We saw the Mike Rimmers cost them a Super Bowl single-handedly. Like, just they finally went out there and did the right thing. Drafted a tackle in the top 10. Just last year was not a great year for them. So hopefully it's going to work out this upcoming season. As far as the interior, I think it makes a lot of sense. Austin Corbett at right guard, he should come back and be a starter again. He was arguably the Panthers' best offensive lineman in 2022 before now missing the last season, most of it because of the ACL, then the MCL tears. When healthy, he's a really good player for the Panthers. That right side should be fine. Bradley Bozeman did not play well at center. Yeah. And looking at it, I feel like it's time for the Panthers to probably go out there and draft the center. They haven't done that since Ryan Khalil in 2007. I don't know if they want to do that, if they are willing to draft a center, if they're going to be in position to get someone who can come in and be a starter right away, or if in free agency they're going to look at the center market and decide to bring someone in. It does sound like, as you mentioned, they're going to probably bring in another left guard. You go back to the line in 2022, Brady Christensen was their lowest graded offensive lineman, so he's probably not the best suited player at left guard. He was an All-American tackle at BYU, so why not put him at the swing tackle? It's not like the Panthers really replaced Cam Irving last year. They were just fortunate that neither Ikem or Taylor Moten had any sort of significant injury where they needed to go to a backup tackle. So putting Christensen in that situation and then upgrading left guard, that's probably the best scenario for the Carolina Panthers, that and also adding a center if that's either the draft or free agency. So those are probably the likely changes we're going to see here in the coming weeks.
I wonder, Julian, if Graham Barton from Duke slips out of the first round, if the Panthers wouldn't be smart to take him, because he could play anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably not a tackle, although that obviously that's where he played for Duke this year. But they look at him as everybody looks at him as an interior offensive lineman. He can play anywhere, and he would certainly be maybe an upgrade, certainly over Bradley Bozeman. Julian Council, I'm told by, well, Julian, that he's going to be live streaming, a top of the hour, right?
Yeah, over on Bleacher Report, top of the hour, we're going to be talking about free agency with the Carolina Panthers. But yes, the Graham Barton thing, I'm totally there with you. That's a guy I actually would have mentioned, but that's who I'd love to have. I would rather have Jackson Paris Johnson, but he will not be available at 33. But Graham Barton potentially could be, as he's Mel Kiper's second-rated center coming up here to draft. But yeah, live Bleacher Report here in about 15 minutes. Come check out more of my thoughts on what the Panthers potentially could do next week.
I mean,
week.
Personally, I want people to stay here, but you provide you provide an option that unfortunately I can't. I can't stream you. I could, but I wouldn't.
The best thing about it is the stream will be available there on the Bleacher Report app afterwards, just like your show will be available wherever you can find it afterwards as
this,
well. So
this conversation will be on YouTube in a matter of moments, Julian. I appreciate your time as always, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
You got it. That's the beauty of modern media.
Julian knows the assignment.
We're timeless.
Yes.
Did Gold just talk to Julian? Let me wait 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Boom! Pop up the YouTubes, and we'll be right there.
Calling all North Carolina sports fans. Soon enough, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code 999 to get up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once mobile sports betting goes live. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code 999. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-185-543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only, new customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.